And wow, this is my first Sunday ever since Ed replaced the lights up there. And I don't even know if there's anybody out there. Unfortunately, there's quite a few people gone this week, but we knew that was going to happen. It's summertime, and we got people taking trips and all sorts of different time requests on their time. But it's good to see you all here and to be here this Sunday, as originally Don and I weren't going to be here this week. But what happened was the week before I went to General Counsel, I received an invitation for Don and I to go on a missions trip. This came through my professor in my class on World Principles of World Church Growth. And followed up on it, and actually everything fell together within the week. Donna found out that the college would pay for her to take an extra week's vacation once every 3 years to go on a missions trip. The elders said that if I didn't go up north this week, I could take the next 2 weeks for the missions trip, and then I had the third week I'm on vacation. But they thought me being gone 6 weeks in a row was a bit much. So instead, I'm going to be gone two, and then gone here one, and then gone three. And it's all come together. We thought we had the funding, so we stepped forward in faith and did it, because Donna was told that she would be receiving a settlement on the car accident she was in a year and a half ago. And I said, well, Lord, are you going to give us that money? We're going to take it and use it for missions. And the lawyer told us that the check would be there the next week, the last week in May. The check hasn't come. However, we have received two separate gifts of $500 each, which were unsolicited, which pretty just about covers our cost. The cost of the trip is $1,100. For the missions thing, and then plus we've got our personal costs of driving down there and food to get there. But that's really not that much. So the Lord has just blessed us. And so we're going to be leaving Friday, probably early in the morning, like 2 a.m., midnight, something like that, so that we can get to Colorado Springs early enough to get some sleep before we leave again on Saturday the 11th to carpool down to El Paso, and then from El Paso we'll take a bus into Juarez with our missions group. Where in Juarez we'll be working on putting a roof on an Alliance church plant there in Juarez, Mexico. Plus Donna we'll be helping with Vacation Bible School. For those of you wondering how Donna was going to be working on a roof, she's not. she is, however, going to be working with Vacation Bible School, and you know that's something which she loves to do. So Lord is just bringing this all together for us. And I would just covet your prayers for Don and I on this trip, that we would indeed have the finances we need. The Lord has already brought in most of it, and I think if Don and I just look closely at how we're spending our money, I think we can squeak through this next month. So, you know, if we can get some of those deals that Phyllis was talking about, get it for half price, you're going to pull up just as they lower the gas price at the gas station. That's what we're looking for. The Lord's blessing on. He is taking care of us. I also want to just let you know about General Counsel. It was a wonderful time. Some of you think of General Counsel and you think it's the annual business meeting of the Alliance. You think business meetings. Ah, yeah, boring, ishy, glee. A couple other similar adjectives, right? Well, that's not all it is, and that isn't like that always. Anyhow, some of us are really sick individuals and enjoy the business sessions. But God has told us to find joy in all things that He brings before us. But the other things that are there are just wonderful. They have wonderful speakers and worship services before and after, and in the morning and the evenings. And we also had, on Saturday, we had workshops. Now they had, since we were in Cincinnati this year, they had Saturday in Cincy for the elementary and the high school age kids. Different age-appropriate activities for them to go out and learn about missions and participate in that. And that was an all-day activity for them. And they came and were part of our missions rally in the evening, which was a two-hour rally, which was just awesome. Just blows us away every time we're there for it. I will tell you that that is a DVD that is available on DVD through the National Office, and I will be getting that. And we will be showing it sometime. Probably a couple times over the next couple of years to encourage people to go, one, to missions and to service here in the U.S., and two, to maybe encourage you to think about going to their next general council, which is in Orlando, Florida, in 2 years. I mean, that's, you know, it's not a bad place. So we want to be in prayer for that. For as far as what went on at council, again, it was a wonderful time. AHOP, the Alliance House of Prayer, you go to IHOP if you want pancakes. You go to AHOP if you want prayer. AHOP, we have a team of people who pray constantly during council. From 8 a.m. in the morning until 10 p.m., there is constant prayer going up. We have rooms set aside for people who need personal ministry. If it's a couple, we'll have a couple go pray with them. If it's a woman, we get a couple of the ladies to go pray. If it's a man, we have a couple of the men go pray with them. We have people who have trained, who have come early for general counsel, who have spent 2 days in training prior to general counsel, just to be there to minister to others in prayer. This year, we were just blessed. I'm really encouraged for our denomination as a whole and the upcoming leadership, because we have kids, they're adults, they're all over 18, but they're young people now, college students and recent college graduates who had met each other at LIFE this last year, which is our youth event, and they had also heard about the Alliance House of Prayer, and they made a commitment to come to council to pray. These young people, about 20 of them in number, from three different colleges, from Nyack College, from Toccoa Falls College, and from Crown College. These kids, they got the funds, time off work, to come to council to pray from 8 in the morning till 10 p.m. This is what they did. They didn't come to Cincinnati to just sightsee or to come and pray for an hour and then spend the rest of the time running around, goofing off. They came and they prayed. Now, I'll tell you what, until you've been at AHOP at council, you really haven't seen how joyous and wonderful a prayer time can be. Maybe you have, but I would say that AHOP at Council is probably one of the best experiences you will ever have. It's certainly one of the reasons why I am always eager to go to General Council. I spend much time there in prayer and praying for the nomination, for you here at home, for getting prayer for myself. It is just an awesome, wonderful experience to be part of it. So that's kind of my council report. We've already been told that we've got a new president, Gary Benedict. He used to be district superintendent here in the Northwestern District. Currently is president at Crown College. And starting here August 1st, he is our new president of the denomination. So keep him in your prayers. Which all segues into prayer, which is what I'm going to preach on. Again, I spent the whole week in prayer. I really needed it last week, Wednesday and Thursday, I know many of you were in prayer for me, and I appreciate that, as I was indeed very sick. So was Ryan and my mother. We were all very different places at that time, but we were all sick. And my mother, in fact, was critical condition, and it was kind of touch and go for a while, but now she's home and her normal, sometimes cantankerous self. So thank you so much for your prayers. Let's turn in our Bibles or look up on the screen. We're going to look to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Some manuscripts also add, "But deliver us also from evil." Many said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children are with me here in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray. Father God, we do come before you, and we say, "Hallowed be your name." And Father, we do pray that it would be your kingdom that comes. Father, you are holy, and it is your kingdom which we are praying for. Lord, we come to you because you are the source of each of our needs. You are the one who forgives us as we forgive others. Lord, we seek your forgiveness and we seek your leading. Lord, lead us in your will and your ways. We ask now that you would lead us in this service and that you would speak to us, each one here. Lord, that we would have that spiritual food which we need to be strong for the days ahead. Father, we pray indeed that it would be your name who's lifted up as I preach. And now, Lord, we give you this time. We give you ourselves. We say, Father, draw us close to you that we might know and follow you better. For we ask this in the name of your Son. So, Lord, send your Holy Spirit to be here in power now, to lead us and guide us and empower us for the work You've given us. We do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the amazing things to me when I look at this passage, where one of the disciples comes up to Jesus and says, "Jesus, will You teach us to pray as John taught His disciples?" is that this isn't in the very beginning of their ministry. As a matter of fact, what we see here is that it's following, at least Luke has placed it, following Jesus' sending of the disciples to go out and to pray for others and to heal and to bring forth the gospel. And after they've done that, and they've seen, they've been a part of ministry, and they've been doing the work, and they've had some bumps in that road, they come back, and there's Jesus praying. And their response isn't, "Why is He doing that?" Now they know why. Because they've experienced the need for prayer. Remember, prayer isn't a monologue, it's a dialogue. It's a specific dialogue. It's a communication with God in heaven. Prayer is not just given the organ list, where you list out, "You know, Lord, my foot hurts, my spleen, oh, my elbow, oh, my wrist." You know, what they refer to as the organ recital. That's not just what prayer is. That's a part of prayer. It's not just us talking to God and telling God what's in our hearts, because honestly, God knows. But prayer is talking with God, communicating with God. That requires and necessitates that we listen to Him so that He can talk to us. Many parents make this mistake, and I'm pretty sure I've made it, of saying, "I'm going to have a talk with my children, with one of my boys." And well, I might talk, but they don't get a chance to get a word in edgewise. And then I get done, and they're like, and I walk away and say, "Oh, I just don't understand. I talk and I talk and I talk, and I just don't get what's wrong with him. I never listen to him." Except God goes the other way. See, God knows what's wrong with us. God knows where our weaknesses are and our frailties, where we don't quite measure up. And He's provided the Holy Spirit to take care of that, because the fact of the matter is we don't measure up anywhere. My sanctification is not so great as to get me into heaven on my own. It's only through the sanctification of the blood of Christ that I've got, that I am assured of salvation. That's it. So we come here to prayer. The disciples, they've been in ministry. They've said, "We need to hear from God." So they say, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus doesn't think this is a silly question at all. As a matter of fact, He jumps right into it. He says, "When you pray, pray like this: Father, hallowed be your name. Now, he's not saying that this is the only prayer you should pray. But what he's saying is when we come to prayer, first we need to bring praise. We need to praise God. We need to praise Him. Because what that does when we praise God is it changes our focus. Because when we're praising God, we're seeking to listen to Him. We're seeking to glorify His name. We're recognizing all the wonderful things that He does and who He is. And it takes our focus from the troubles and turmoils and the problems and puts them honestly and truly on the solution. But so often we're so enraptured and caught up in our trials and tribulations that we don't lift up our head to see our salvation, our provider. See, after Jesus tells us that we are to praise the Lord, to bring us in that right place, to focus us, then He tells us, ask for what you need. Your daily bread. There's nothing that is too big or too small for God. There's nothing that we're not to take to Him. Those things which we need every day, air to breathe, food to eat, clothes to wear, shelter, love. Strength. Each and every one of these things comes from the Lord. He is our provider. And we're to recognize that fact. God is holy. God is our provider. Then He says, go to petition. Forgive us our sins. We're to recognize our own position, that we're sinners. Or if there isn't one of us who's perfect. And we're to seek His forgiveness as we forgive others. Again, helping us to remember that we need to be forgiving of others. It's not just, Lord, forgive me, but help me to forgive those who have hurt me. That we share the blessings of the Lord. As He has forgiven us. Forgiven us? Oh, please. As He has forgiven us. As He has forgiven us. We need to forgive others. That same magnanimous heart, that graciousness needs to flow into us and through us. It's not just supposed to pool here. We get all the blessing for ourselves. No, it's supposed to continue on. And we recognize that in that prayer. And we're to petition for forgiveness and leading. Not just, well, forgive me, Lord. I stumbled into sin again. No, Lord, lead me so I don't fall into these unnecessary traps of temptation. Lead me so that I'm walking close with You. Lead me not into temptation. We need to follow Him. He doesn't lead us to temptation. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It's not for ours, but for His. Then we pray. Perseverance. After Jesus gives this example of prayer, He gives this illustration of perseverance and boldness. Now, I'll tell you what. You call my phone at 2 a.m., you better have a good reason. Okay? You come knock on my door, it better be even better. Because I am not a happy camper to be woken out of my sleep. You get up and answer my phone or answer my door. You may ask my children on this topic. If I get troubled that time of night and it wasn't for something important, I get owly. How's that? Sanctified way of saying I get really cranky. Okay? I might even say a discouraging word. But if there's need, I'm a little better about it. But I'm still reluctant to get up. Here we have the situation where the door is locked, we're all in bed. You know, and remember, they didn't each have their own bedroom. They had, you know, a bed, and we're all together. And how many of you grew up with, you know, having to share a bed with somebody? I know some of you older folks did, and that, and it was a major operation to try to get in and out. And on a cool evening, you know, the house wasn't all that warm. Getting up and getting out was uncomfortable, just to say the least. But here this man comes, and he's knocking at the door. I need some bread. I have guests that just showed up. Remember, a lot of people traveled at night or late in the evening because, you know, it's hot out during the day. So people would show up late at evening or sometimes at night. And, you know, we've been traveling, you know, but we're tired and we're hungry, and you're my cousin, or you're a business associate, so I can come, and if I ask you, you will help me. Hospitality. Well, I look in my refrigerator and I say, well, let's see, I got nothing. I don't think they want those beets that haven't been cooked yet, or that rutabaga. And we need something that we can, you know, feed them quick. We're not looking to cook something up, and we want to feed them and go back to bed. So we go to the neighbor. Neighbor doesn't want to get up, but he does get up and get the bread because of the perseverance, the boldness. You got to have a little bit of gumption to get up and go ask your neighbor in the middle of the night for a loaf of bread. You know, I would all, if I got up at 2 a.m., walked over to neighbor's house, knocked on the door, said, you know, I'm baking cookies. You got a cup of sugar. Ed, Peggy, what do you think? Am I going to get my cup of sugar? Right on top of my head, yeah. But it's the boldness, the perseverance. The lesson here is that in prayer, we are to persevere. Not that God is unwilling to give us His blessings, but that we are to have an attitude of seeking after Him. That no matter what comes before us, what barriers get between us and talking to God, we're going to keep at it. We're not going to let anything stop us from trying to hear what God has to tell us. Because remember, prayer isn't just telling Him because He already knows. We're telling Him for our own benefit, to bring it to our mind, to our heart. but we're listening to what He has to say as He speaks back to us. Sometimes He'll answer our prayer with a card taped to the office door with a note and a check. I got one of those this week. Sometimes He answers prayer through a lifting up of your heart. You know, you're supposed to feel, you know, I really feel like I'm supposed to go and do this or talk to that person. Sometimes He does provide even supernatural words of knowledge in the middle of prayer. I will tell you, I have been praying for people and had God speak through me in that prayer. People say, well, what did you pray for? I said, I don't know. I don't remember. I said, well, you prayed this. And somebody else, the person will say, well, you prayed for this, this, this. I don't know how you knew that. I said, I don't remember doing that. I don't even know. I didn't know. Not that I was divorced from the proceeding. I remember praying with you, but the details just escaped me. It wasn't something I was meant to remember. It was for you. I've had that happen. I've had other times where I remember what went on, where God just said, go and pray for this person. I don't know why. Sometimes you feel really silly. You call somebody up and say, the Lord, I feel like the Lord's telling me to come pray for you. You go, oh, thank you. I've been needing somebody to come and pray with me. And you're like, really? Cool. Okay. Sometimes He speaks to you inside that small, still voice and gives you those leadings. He gives us sometimes in the Word. Now don't be the one who takes the Bible and we flip the pages and go, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Oh, yeah. Ooh. Says here that Judas went and hung himself. I don't like that one. Oh! Go thou and do likewise. Well, I don't like that one. What you're about to be about quickly. Oh! You know, you don't do the hunt and peck thing, but as you study through God's Word, He'll have passages jump out at you. George was sharing that with us this morning in his prayer focus. That was not the first time he'd read that passage. That wasn't the second time he'd read that passage. That probably wasn't even the 10th time he'd read that passage. But this time when he read that passage, it jumped out like it was brand new. It probably looked like it had neon lights around it. Just to him. He just looked at it. It just hit him. And he said, what the Lord did for me when He took me out of Egypt. That's why we do this. That's why we pray. And it's not silly to, even after we've been involved in ministry, to go to the Lord and say, Lord, teach us to pray. We as a church have had many seasons of prayer. But people, we need a new one. We need to be on our knees in prayer constantly. A couple of weeks ago, we had a 24-hour prayer and fasting, and it was wonderful. It was a wonderful time. We had a few people here who had never experienced prayer and fasting like that before. And they were blessed. This church, I believe, was blessed through it. But, you see, it's not meant to be just a one-time shot. We're supposed to have attitudes of persevering in prayer. People, we need to keep on praying. On Sunday mornings, we're going to have prayer. In the Sunday school hour, we're not going to have a Sunday school curriculum. We will have a few things here and there that we'll share. Standalone items. Maybe a little bit of a DVD. Something from the national office. Or maybe we'll have something from the prayer line. But we'll have something there, and we're going to have some time of prayer. We're going to have discussion. But most of all, we're going to pray. Because we want to do what the Lord wants us to do. I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. And I covet and want your prayers, so I'm going to make you do it. No, I can't make you pray. I can't. But I beg you, pray. We're going to take communion now. And following